Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Mark Potash. Welcome to Hallis Intrigue, the Chicago Bears podcast. Coming up, Potsy, the Bears finally added a defensive end. We'll break down what it means and more on Hallis Intrigue.
Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at WBEZ.org/events.
Mark, late Thursday night, while the Bears were enjoying an off day, they agreed to terms with Yannick Ngakoue. The defensive end comes in, signs a one-year, $10.5 million deal. We spoke to him earlier today. Do you like it?
Yeah, I think it's a good move. I think it's good all the way around. It's hard to find a pass rusher, and it's kind of odd that a guy like him has been on so many. He's been so productive, yet he's been on so many teams. That just rarely happens. But he's available, and everything about it, I would say, is good. The Bears signed him at their price, which is definitely Ryan Poles' MO through all of this. You know, 1 year, what, 10.5?
Yep.
That is for it, especially even if they didn't have the caps as much cap space as they do, it would still be a good deal. The biggest thing is it improves. It upgrades them. They were so in such dire straits from a pass rushing standpoint, especially on their defensive line, that he just gives them an upgrade that they need, and I would argue that they need to allow their young defensive players, especially in the secondary, to develop fully.
Right.
I thought the secondary last year did a really good job of looking not bad and looking promising even without a pass rush. That's a pretty neat trick. So I think for them to really take the next step, they need a little more than the Bears had. So I think it's good for that. It's good for Ngakoue. He gets to another prove-it year, I guess, for him. He gets to prove himself and maybe earn a long-term contract. Still only, what, 29?
Yep.
28, something like that. It's good for the Bears because they get an upgrade without really getting in anybody's way. Yep. He's not taking reps away from anybody who's going to they have some, you know, potential, I guess you could argue, in Dominique Robinson and Travis Gibson, but not getting in the way of, not taking reps away from somebody who is really going to be stalled, And so it's good from that perspective. You know, he fits the scheme. I mean, I guess the theme of my story that I'm writing about him is just good. When you want to get a quarterback or a pass rusher, there's always some element of risk, either the investment you make, trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. Or just there's something about it that is risky. And here there really is no risk. This is a low-risk investment with a potential high return.
Ngakoue turned 28 in March, so still relatively young. I think this is worth stressing. This isn't Al-Kadeem Muhammad. This isn't some guy they bring in as a placeholder on a really bad team. This is someone with production. Potsy, I just want to read you two important stats. One of them is games played. He's been here since 2016. He has played 16, 16, 16, 15, 15, 17, 15. So this guy who answers the bell. Now, when you look at sacks, 8, 12, 9.5, 8, 10, 9.5. The worst he's ever been is an 8-sack guy. Last year, that would have led the Bears in sacks. It sounds like you're getting a high-level producer who should raise all boats, right?
And he doesn't need – he's proven that he doesn't need time to get acclimated. He went to the Vikings on August 3rd, September 1st a few years ago and gave them, 5 sacks. And then he didn't do as well in Baltimore. I think he only had 3 sacks in 8 games. But, he had to make that transition. Then he's just new teams, Vegas and Indy and it's been pretty productive fairly early. So I think the expectation, especially on this line, is that he will be pretty immediate contributor. So you've got that going for you, too. The one knock on him, the one knock on him is that he's not good in the run game. He's not good against the run. And the Bears, to their credit, they didn't try and I don't think they even tried to ignore that. I think Matt Eberflus, in fact, acknowledged it. He'll have to be better,
right?
And they're going to have to make him better at the run. But the other thing he did is that they're not going to play around. He's going to be an every down lineman, and that's kind of a good thing. I was looking up one stat that I thought was interesting was that, more of his sacks have come on first and 10 18 and a half that have come on third and long.
Okay.
So the Bears, you know, the Bears were in the bottom five in the league in third and long situations because they could not stop the run.
Sure.
And they figure to improve that this year, but you don't have to count on that with Ngakoue. It doesn't look like he needs to be. He doesn't need to be that situational guy. Mm-hmm. If you have good linebackers and good aggressive, just if you're as aggressive as they plan to be in the back end, you can, especially with their safeties, you know, maybe there's room for him to be not great against the run and still have him be effective, especially with those pass rush numbers, those sack numbers he has on first and 10. So, again, I just think this is one of those things. If it's somehow, I'm trying to think how it could blow up in their face, like a Jared Allen type situation. I don't think it could, but even if it did, this is a whatever small risk. This was worth it. I don't think we can go back and say, oh, bad move by Poles to do this.
No. And he's never in his career played less than 2/3 of the snaps. So this is a guy who he might not be good against the run, but he's been out there. Also, Potsy, you can find guys to play the run. And if, if it's second and four and if they want to bring him off, the Bears can plug that hole with a run-stopping defensive end. Those guys are far easier to come by than someone who's dynamic on the pass rush. And that's exactly what he's been. My question for you, Mark, is this will be his sixth team in 5 years.
Actually, four if you include that he was with Jacksonville in 2020.
Five seasons. I'll say seasons.
Yeah, if you want to get his play. Anyway, he's been with a lot of different teams.
How about this? Since January 2020, this is his seventh team in 5 years, something like that. Anyway.
Well, 4 years ago, 3 years ago today, he was with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, okay.
He has since been with the Vikings, the Ravens, the Raiders, the Colts, and now the Bears.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen often in the NFL to good players.
No.
If he's so good, why can't he find a home anywhere?
That's a good question.
You asked him, right?
I don't know why that is. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, all I know is, I guess in that respect, if the Bears had signed him to a long-term contract, well, maybe that might be a bigger issue. But because they're only trying to get out of him what everyone else has gotten out of him, which is 1 year, 8 to 10 sacks, hey, it's all good.
That's win-win. And you said, I don't think...
But that is an oddity. There's no doubt about it. That's one of the things they say about just like quarterbacks, defense. Yeah. You find a pass rush, they're hard to find. It's always like in free agent. Well, they're hard to find because anybody who has a good one keeps them. Right. Here's a guy who has... It's not even like potential. Yeah. He's actually produced every year, and yet nobody wants to keep him long-term. I guess that means he's not the Khalil Mack, Julius Peppers kind of destructive... defensive end, every down, like we always said about Akeem Hicks, how you could just see how he affected every single play. I'm not sure if Ngakoue is that kind of guy. On the other hand, though, he is a difference maker. He is a playmaker. I think he's got, 21 forced fumbles? He's got a high forced fumble total. I don't know how many of those turned into actual takeaways, but that bodes well, too, for production-wise, that he's doing more than just getting sacks.
If he fell into a sinkhole tomorrow, sorry to get dark, it wouldn't be a bad contract. If the worst possible thing happens here, it's $10 million that the Bears already had, and they had the most cap room in the NFL. This I don't think has the potential to be anything other than a win for Ryan Poles. It also brings the Bears cash floor, brings the Bears in line with the cash floor that they have to hit. So that's helpful as well.
Yeah, something, Pat, even if he is, as long as he's on the field, he's going to be better than what they had, even if he's a disappointment.
That's the point I was going to make, is it's a low bar to say he's an improvement over what they've got. Yeah. I think he's such an improvement. I think on his worst day, he's a starter here.
Right.
You look at DeMarcus Walker, he's missed the last couple of days with an injury. In a perfect world, the Bears in passing downs want to move DeMarcus Walker inside. So if so, you're going to need another edge rusher.
It gives them some versatility.
Travis Gibson, Dominique Robinson had one sack after week two last year. That was more than 1,100 snaps between the two of them without being able to get a sack. There have been some other guys who have flashed here in camp so far, but this fixes a problem. I don't think this fixes the problem. I think even if Ngakoue is 10 sacks, that just kind of gets the Bears a little closer to a C-plus on the D-line.
Yeah.
They need other guys to pop.
But, well, that's the biggest point. That is, to me, the biggest point of Ngakoue being here is that, unlike other situations where you're trying to get a pass rusher, he does, this is going to sound kind of stupid, but they don't necessarily need him to make the defense great. They need him to allow the young good players behind him to get better so that they can get some other defensive end either in the draft next year or in free agency, and then they're on their way. Right. But they need a threat at defensive end. They need a guy who makes an impact to allow guys like Jaquan Brisker, Kyler Gordon, Tyreek Stevenson, TJ Edwards, all those linebackers.
How about Jalen Johnson? We talk about him like he's a finished product, but his ball production is almost non-existent.
Right.
Like they need interceptions and they need fumbles.
Yeah.
And having an edge rusher gives that young defensive back group, which is everybody but Eddie Jackson's under 25. That gives them a fighting chance where last year they didn't.
Right? He is a facilitator in every meaning of the word. You know what I'm saying? He needs to help not only the defense get better, but even more importantly, he needs to help let their other players grow, which they could not do as well with the defensive line they had last year. And I think that's the most important thing about getting. That's why I said this is such a really good move. And good timing. Didn't wait till the end of camp, but still got him with the 1 year. And I'm assuming they were a two-year contract might have gotten him here in June, but Poles held firm, which I think is smart. Mm-hmm. When you're not looking at a guy who's going to be here for 10 years and be a difference maker, I think that's the right move. So like again, that's kind of your. I'm sure people are hearing that the theme of this whole podcast is just a good overall low risk high reward move for the Bears.
Mercedes Lewis gets brought in as well. The Bears agreed to sign him. He still got to take a physical. Mercedes Lewis was born in 1984. Potsy, that is less than 4 years after I was born, which makes me feel not quite so old. Not a lot of guys have played as many seasons in the NFL as he has. 17 full. This would be the 18th. Right now, I can't imagine he slots any higher than the Bears' third tight end behind Cole Kmet and Robert Tonyan. But, you know, an old friend of Aaron Rodgers, someone who Rodgers reportedly lobbied for to go to the Jets. How is he going to help the Bears? Can he make the team?
Well, I think he can. I'm not sure. I haven't really studied what kind of year he had last year or whatever. But what Lewis does is, you know, unlike Jimmy Graham, who he had to catch passes to be worth. Now Jimmy Graham's on another level. Even at the end of his career, he's on a different level.
He's probably going to the Hall of Fame,
right? Yeah. But I will say, as far as expectation goes, how can he help the Bears? Jimmy Graham had to catch touchdown passes to help the Bears, and he kind of did that.
Yep.
When I don't think it mattered as much as it needed to, but anyway, he.
And it may have stunted Cole Kmet's growth a little bit too. But yes,
you can argue that too. Yeah. But Lewis is just more of a guy who helps just in the run game too. I mean, he's just a good blocker. And the expectations aren't as high for him. It's just more rudimentary to what Getsy's offense is trying to do, which is no matter how effective they are passing the ball, is to always establish the run, never get away from that. And he helps them, and he potentially helps them do that.
Yeah, and he both knows the system and he knows Luke Getsy from 2018 through 2021. He and Getsy were on the same side there. Potsy, it occurred to me when they signed him that timing is everything. If Cole Kmet didn't have a deal and if they were bringing in a third tight end that we've heard of, you know, a third tight end that's an established guy, I think there would be a portion of the fan base that are sitting there going, they're getting ready to trade Cole Kmet. Why do we need this? But now you give him $50 million. You've made it clear that he's your future at tight end. You bring in someone who is a very respected teammate, a very well-respected locker room guy. And now you can present it as we're bringing in someone to help our team, but also to help better this $50 million investment that we just made.
Yeah, I mean, to me overall, in the big picture, especially compared to a guy like Ngakoue, it's a fringe, it's a fringe piece.
Yep.
But it's one that can be productive. And, you know, the Bears have been shuffling in tight ends, some with names, some without, and some of them have been productive in short spurts, you know, for years now. And it'll be interesting to see if this tight end the complement of tight ends they have now is as good as they've had in a while. you know, obviously going back to Bartolus Bennett and and before
Zach Miller was in there.
And back then, but that's probably more on Tonyan and Komet and their production that will tell that tale. But I was referring Lewis figures in as far as the depth, which, you know, the Bears have always seemed to need tight ends, multiple tight ends.
Yep.
And I guess what I'm saying is I think as a third guy, I think I feel better about him for what they want than what they've had.
Absolutely. Yeah. Made a Pro Bowl in 2010, Potsy. Yeah. He's played like 173 games since, which is pretty unbelievable. He's had two full careers after his Pro Bowl berth with the Jaguars. I think it is interesting that both guys made a Pro Bowl at some point in their careers. There was a time last year where you looked around and you counted the Bears who had had any sort of honor like that, and you could do it on one hand. I don't know whether it matters, but it does show that at some point in their lives, people thought of them as among the best at what they do. Lewis obviously is nowhere near that now and won't be asked to do anything near near as important now.
How many? What was his numbers when he made the Pro Bowl? What were his pass catching numbers?
I got it right here, Potsy. 58 catches, 700 yards, 10 touchdowns.
Okay,
pretty good season. Especially in 2010 football was a little different.
I don't think he's that player today.
Absolutely,
but I don't think they want him to. They need him. I don't think they need him to be that player today.
Hey, actually, here, can I help you here?
Yeah.
Since 2018 with the Packers, catches by. Do you want catches year by year since 2018? 3, 15, 10, 23, 6. Yeah. So this is someone who is not...
He helps that run game, though.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, the Bears had the best... As bad as they were last year, they had the best running attack in football. Justin Fields led the league in yards per carry, and Khalil Herbert was second. So this is a place that is going to commit to the run. So the Bears had a pretty interesting off day, Potsy. We can get into practice stuff and all of that at a later date. But I think they're a better team today than they were yesterday.
And it was a walk-through field kind of day today. It was no pads. I mean, it was competitive, but nothing that we really need to make any kind of judgments about, even when it comes to the response of the offense to the to Wednesday's practice where they got when they got it handed to them by the defense. That will come tomorrow. I guess we're not going to do it Friday. Saturday,
right.
Are we? Too bad we don't, because I guess that is when you can make the judgment in Saturday's practice. You'll be able to tell.
I do think that Justin was a little sharper today because, it's harder, it's apples and oranges compared to a pattern.
You can't make pronouncements. I'm always, leery of doing that. And also, Saturday will tell the tale, but certainly not Sunday.
Also, I love stuff like this. Today was a red practice, which is a, like you said, almost a walkthrough. The yellow is a faster practice, and the green is the fastest. I think tomorrow will be a yellow day, right? And
Sunday will be a chartreuse practice, I'm predicting.
Matt Eberflus joked about chartreuse today also.
It's funny, Pat.
He was. I asked him to explain.
Everyone got a chuckle out of that.
Yeah, all of us. But
Bears are feeling pretty good about themselves in this game. I joked about that in first and 10, but I'm telling you. They feel pretty good about themselves in their own way.
I'll tell you too that the Family Fest at Soldier Field, and you've written this. Don't expect to see any trick plays or anything too interesting.
Yes.
The Bears tend to pull back pretty dramatically on Family Fest Day. So
they pull back dramatically in these practices here. Running all the short field drills on the far side of the field.
Well, and these practices are going to be closed to the public here pretty soon anyway, Potsy. I think we're through tomorrow. Saturday will be 7 out of 10,
something like that.
So we are getting closer there. But all of that is to say that we will break down the happenings from the practice field on the next episode. But until then, you can listen to read Mark and myself and Jason Leisure at the Sun-Times website. Go check us out on our app, which I think is the best thing we do. Find us on, do we say Twitter? What do we say? X, Twitter? Find us on all of your favorite social media outlets. And if you live in Chicago, please pick up a newspaper. He's Mark Potash. I'm Pat Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.
Thanks for listening to the news live on WBEZ and NPR. The WBEZ stream sounds great in the kitchen on your smart speaker and anywhere on the WBEZ app. Listen every day.